Church, we'll be reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Then we'll be lighting the love candle this third week of Advent, and then we will pray. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Father, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, that You have given us this perfect outpouring of Your love. Father, we thank You in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you very much. I like that. If you're a guest with us today, we have guests with us every week. And each week I try to remind you that right in front of you, if you are a regular attender and you've got a guest around you, pull out one of these blue cards and invite them to fill this out. That's up to you guys. If you like to, we'd love for you to fill it out. I'm not coming to your house, not calling you, anything like that this week. What I am going to do, though, is send you an email and just say thank you for being with us and help you to know how to step into our body a little bit more if you would like to do that. And so we're going to have our, the way I get this is a couple of ways. One, you can either come back and see me. I'll be out the doors and to the left. I'd love to get this. I have a gift that I'll give you. It's a small little coffee cup and some information about our church, and I'd love for you to be able to have that and to be able to know a little bit more about us and me know about you. Or you can drop it in the offering box. It's on the wall as you head out. Our members and regular attenders, they're going to be putting the offerings and the tithes in the box, and so you put that in there, and that would be your offering to us today. Today is the day that we are taking up our one-day offering. It's not the only time that we take it up, but we have set aside this day for people to bring in a mission offering. This offering, 100% of it goes to the mission efforts of LifePoint Church. It goes to support the budgets of LifePoint Bangkok, LifePoint Brussels. It's going to be helping to start two brand new ministries, Hispanic ministry and an Arabic ministry, that we will also be a huge recipient of that. And so I want to ask you, do you join Amy and I? We texted our gift in this morning, so you can text it in, you can write a check, you can drop it in the offering box. This is over and above your normal offering gift. And so if you would like to do that, put it, and you're going to give cash or an envelope or something along those lines, make sure it says one day on it so that we get it directly to where it needs to be. So you join in with us. Today's the day that we take it. We kind of kick that off. And we have folks who give that all year long. And so you join with us and you take part in that with us. Couple of quick announcements. Number one is this, is that on December the 24th, in case you do not know, that's Christmas Eve, all right? And we are having two Christmas Eve services, one at 3 and one at 4:30. It's a family service. If you have children, you have small children, bring them with you. We're going to keep that within 1 hour. The reason for that is that we want everyone to be able to participate. So if you're worried about, I have a small child, I don't know. Listen, it's not going to bother me. And if it starts to bother someone around you, you tell them, hey, take it up with Kyle. All right. No, I really do want you to come. I want you to be here. We're going to try to keep that within an hour so that you can go and be with family. And you have a way also to invite your family to it and know kind of what's going to be expected that evening. So you plan to be a part of that. Also, December the 26th, the day after Christmas, that's Sunday. We're going to have only one service that day. It will be at 10:45 this hour. All right, so that shouldn't affect you unless you're traveling. If you're traveling, you tune in with us through over the internet, and you could worship with us as you go. If you're out of town and you are unable to be with us online, you go find a church, and you plug into that church that morning. But 10:45, we'll be worshiping together, and it also will be a family service that have elements that are specifically designed for children during that day. Also, the last thing is this. On your way in, you received a little white folder. If you didn't, you can get one on the way out. We're beginning a brand new reading plan. We encourage all of us to read through the Bible every year. This next year, what we're going to do as a church body is we're going to focus into the New Testament. And so this will give you those days. It gives you the days. It gives you the passages that we're going to be reading through. You're going to be seeing that in student ministry, kids ministry. You're going to see it in our adult discipleship group. So you get that now, and you can begin to join in with us. And you're going to know exactly where we are. And so I want you to be ready and planned and excited about that. Take your Bibles and open them up, turn them on, whatever it is that you do. It will be on the screen, but I do want you to be able to see it. We're going to be in the book of 1 John today, a text that you don't normally read and talk through and look at as it comes to Advent. For some of you who are new to this church stuff, or you're new to Advent, you've not heard about that. You've heard more about Christmas then maybe you've heard about Advent. Advent is a word that means the coming. It is the time of year where we celebrate and we remember the first advent of Jesus when he came, and we remember and we look back and we celebrate that Jesus born in a manger. But it also points us towards his second coming, and his second coming that he is going to return again and take those of us who have surrendered our lives to him. He is our Lord and Savior, and he'll take us to be where he is today, as he told John, or as John wrote about in his gospel. So we're going to be over in the book of 1 John. Advent is designed to help us look past what I would say has become to the distractions of the season. The lights, I love the lights, but they can become a distraction, especially if you've got a neighbor like the Griswolds, or maybe your street is like the Griswold. It kind of begins to go, whoa, hold on. Maybe even the gifts, the presents, they become a distraction to you. You know, I don't know about you, but this is the time of season where when you're buying gifts, and you're out, it's like a war zone all the way from Black Eye Friday to Christmas Eve. People are like going crazy after the gift. Some of you who are older, I was reading a couple of stories about harrowing ordeals buying gifts. Some of you guys who are older, maybe you bought this gift for your kid, or maybe you're old enough that you were the one wanting this gift. Do y'all remember Furbies? Anybody remember? Oh, I see a few of you. Furbies were the forerunners to Siri. They're the things that you could talk to and they would talk back. You remember you could take them and put them up in your closet and they would repeat what they heard. A little scary. You'd get those things and want to throw them away. I don't know. But I was reading about two grandmothers who were in a department store trying to get Furbies, and they ended up, get this, two grandmothers fighting over a Furby. The police had to come get them. It's like grandma's gone wild or something. Don't Google that, all right? Whatever you do. There was another story that I read about, and this happened to a woman in California. She was at Walmart 2 years ago trying to get whatever the latest game system was because she needed to get something. Her grandson was wanting this gift so badly. She pulled out mace and began to mace all of the people around her so that she could fight forward to get that. 10 different people had to be treated by EMTs. Folks, that's crazy. It's like a war zone. Now, you may not be dealing with that. I hope you're not dealing with that kind of stuff. If that's you, we'll see about it on Facebook probably this next week, I'm sure. But you do identify at some level with this because during this season, you love your family, you love your spouse, you love your kids, you love your grandkids, and you're trying your hardest to get something for them because you love them and you want them to have the gifts that they're desiring. And so you're all out. You've probably got 3 or 4 computers on. People are trying to get that gift, that thing, whatever it is. You're looking for that special spouse gift. Listen, I love getting the special gifts, but you realize, don't you, that all of the gifts, all of the entrapments, all of the lights, all of those things that fight for our attention, even maybe distractions, they really are a shadow pointing us forward to the greater gift of Jesus. They should all point us forward. You see, all of this is tinsel and tape. It's truly the gift of Jesus that we are called to celebrate. And here we are. Kurt just lit the third candle in our Advent series, the candle of love. 2 weeks ago, we talked about Jesus, our peace. And in the midst of the season that we're in, he becomes our peace. He is our peace. He's not just an emotion. Jesus is peace. Last week, we talked about Jesus, our hope. And our hope not just being wishful thinking. I hope it's a great day. I hope it doesn't rain. I hope I'm all right. No, we're not talking about that kind of hope. We're talking about Jesus, the man. He himself is our hope. And today we're going to focus on Jesus, our love. And it's very important to me that we begin to really catch. You've heard me say it week in and week out, and I'm going to say it again today. Jesus, our love, is not just an emotion. Love is an emotion. You need to hear that. When I look at my wife, there's something that flutters inside of me. My blood pressure raises, not because I'm angry with her or anything like that. It's because she's beautiful. I know why I married her. So there's an emotion there. But we're not talking about Jesus an emotion. We're talking about Jesus a person. And that Jesus himself, he is love. And so what we want to be able to see in the season that, you know, the song talks about it's the most wonderful time of the year. For us, many times, it's the most hectic time of the year. I want us to begin to take notice that Jesus is love. He is our love. And we're going to see in 1 John how it is that Jesus, that God sent love to us. He sent love, his son, Jesus, to us. So in 1 John, beginning in chapter 4, beginning at verse 9, there's 3 points that we're going to look at today. So if you're writing them down, you're thumbing them in somewhere, this is the first one. One, we're going to see Jesus, we're going to see our love displayed. Jesus, our love displayed. We're going to see love defined. And we're going to see love demands. So beginning in 1 John, chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, here's what we read. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I need you to underline, circle, star, we're coming back to that word, to be the propitiation for our sins. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. all of the things. So as we start talking about the very first thing that love displayed, all the things that we think about when we think about Christmas, gifts, wrapping paper, lights, going to the grocery stores and buying honey-baked hams and spiral-cut hams, all of those things that we love, all of the things that the family gathered around the table, all of those things that we love, that dwell, that make emotion rise up in us, those things are a foretaste of Jesus. They should point us to Jesus. They should remind us of Jesus. Jesus, God's love on display for us. Now, remember, those of you who've been around here a while, you've heard me say this, and I want to remind you, who wrote the book of 1 John? Anybody know? Anybody who wrote the book of 1 John? John did. Thank you. That's very good. That's John the apostle. John the disciple, the one who walked with Jesus. He wrote 1 John. He wrote 2 John. He wrote 3 John. We have previously done a teaching series on that. You can find that online. He also wrote the book of Revelation. We just finished a teaching series on that. And he wrote the gospel, the good news of John. John was known as John the Beloved because he loved God so much. He loved Jesus, God in the flesh, so much. He became known as the beloved disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. He sprinkles, he mixed in to all of his letters, all of his gospels, the revelation, he mixed in the love of God all through it. So as you're reading about, as you're reading the things that he wrote, you're going to see love all through it. Look at verse 9. Verse 9, John shows us the greatest exhibit of God's love. He says this, "In this, the love of God was made manifest." Now, for those of you who are new to the church thing or you're new to Bible study, the New Testament wasn't written in English. It is a translation, all right? The New Testament was written in Greek, and the word for manifest, you can circle, underline, highlight that word. The word in Greek is phaneroo, P-H-A-N-E-R-O-O, P-H-A-N-R-O-O. Phaneroo. Now, what that means is to reveal. The word manifest means to reveal, to make visible. That should be familiar to you. We talked about John writing the Revelation. He was revealing what was to come. He was making visible to us on earth. So what John is writing about in verse 9 is this. He says, "In this, the love of God was made visible. He has revealed it to us that God sent his only son into the world." He's saying, listen, you want to know what real love is? You want to know what the display of God's love is that he sent his son, Jesus, his one and only son, Jesus. He sent him and made him visible. Do you remember in the New Testament when Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father"? He says that I and the Father are one. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen him. How did God love us? How did God display his love to us? He himself took on flesh and bone. He stepped into time and space. And he became a man. This is called the incarnation, God in flesh. He came to us. He came to us. Listen, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but we are such fallen creatures. We have a sin nature because because when our first father, Adam and Eve, when they sinned in the garden, we took on their nature, that sin nature. And everything that we try to do today, our heart has been so broken. Our flesh is so still carrying around the fall that even in our best gift giving, us trying to express love by giving gifts, did you realize that we're still very selfish in that? Even husbands, you're trying to find your wife. Wife, you're trying to find your husband. Friend, you're trying to find the best gift that you can give to a family member, a friend, a spouse. Why? Well, one, you want them to have something good, but you also, when you give them that gift, I hope they like this. Oftentimes that gift has you so wrapped up in it, doesn't it? You're worried about what they think of you by the gifts that you're giving them. That is an example of how messed up even our ideas about love are. In trying to give the best gift that I can give my wife because I love her, I'm still thinking about many times, I hope she likes it. I wonder how she's going to see this, how she's going to reflect on me. How will this look? Folks, all of us deal with this. And yet, even in our imperfection, the Lord has given us graciously in the Apostle John this passage to say, listen, God is the beginning of love. He is love, and he has displayed perfect love to us by sending his one and only son. You realize we can't initiate or fabricate love. Only God is the one who initiates love for us. He stepped into time and space. I'm repeating myself because this is so important that you have to get this based on what the passage has to say here. Kurt even said just a minute ago, do you remember when Kurt read in 1 John? He says that the word became flesh and did what? Dwelt among us. He walked among us. How did God display love to us? By sending Jesus. By Jesus coming as a child, humble, lowly, in a manger, in a stable, full of sheep, cattle, manure, hay. Have you ever received a gift that was really, really small? And you may have even thought it was insignificant. You opened it up and you looked at it and, oh, that's... And then you realize that it was from this person and you begin to evaluate, oh, my goodness. They didn't really have the money even to give me this. They went a long way so that I could have something, and they offered me what seemed insignificant. But man, folks, do you realize God sent his son, a savior, to be born in a manger, in a little tiny, out-of-the-way place. It wasn't in a huge, immaculate temple. He was overlooked. But it was the greatest display of love the world has ever known. Has ever known. This is what love is all about. God taking the initiative to love us first. Love came down. That's Jesus. The second thing, though, I want you to see is love defined. Love defined. God displayed his love by having his son come and be born. He put on flesh and blood and was born. But love defined. Look at verse 10. Verse 10 says this, in this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son in flesh, the incarnation. He sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. This is the atonement that we look at here, being made right. Notice that John says what love is. He says love is that God sent his son. You're going, okay, you've already said that. That's love, is that he sent his one and only son for us. Do you realize, though, that for most of us, how many of you have a cross in your manger? Not many. None in here. You know what? None in the first service either. Typically in our nativity scene, you know what we do? We put just Mary and Joseph, maybe a few shepherds, some sheep, little statues. You have a manger scene with baby Jesus in it. But do you realize that's not where Advent stops? The reason the manger scene is so important is because it points to a cross. It points to a cross. If there were lots of babies born, there were so many babies, so many so that the scripture tells us that the ruler of that day had all the two-year-old babies and under, male babies, killed in Bethlehem. There were all kinds of babies born, but there was only one baby named Jesus, who was the Son of God, who would grow. And if he had not grown and pointed his face towards the cross, and I want you to know, Jesus knew where his life was going to go. He knew where it was headed. The word propitiation, I want you to write this down, thumb it in somewhere. The word propitiation means this. It means a sacrifice that is satisfying. It's a sacrifice that is satisfying, pleasing, worthy. God sent his son, Jesus, to be born in a manger, who would grow up, who would live a life of love. He lived a perfect life. He never sinned, the scripture tells us. He never sinned. It says that he came to his own people and they didn't receive him. They put him on a cross. He died a death that you and I want to make sure you hear this, that you and I deserved. So when you hear the phrase, Jesus is my satisfaction, that's not just talking about some kind of emotion. That's talking about he satisfied the penalty of my sin. He satisfied that. He laid his life down on a cross. He lived a life I couldn't live. He lived a life you couldn't live. A perfect holy life. That is a definition of love. Yes, Jesus was born in a manger, and we need to celebrate that. You know what we see when we see that baby born? We see a display of God's love. But we see God's love defined for us in the cross. In the cross of Christ, him laying his life down. It is the cross of Christ that makes Christmas, Christmas. His propitiation, his satisfactory sacrifice on behalf of me and on behalf of you who have surrendered your life to Jesus. This is why we can have peace in our homes in a day and time that we live today where there seems to be no peace. When the world feels like it's rocking and rolling, it's moving, the mountains are trembling. We can have peace because we know Jesus. He brings a peace that passes all understanding. When you get a phone call from a young man on his way to Vanderbilt because his two-year-old daughter has been diagnosed with leukemia and he's crying, that's a real story that happened like 3 days ago. Who doesn't know what's going to happen? What am I going to do? And we begin to talk and we begin to pray. And you know what? All that I could tell him was, Jesus is your hope today. Listen, that's not wishful thinking. Yes, we're asking that doctors and nurses and medicines and technology, but I need you to hear, Jesus is your hope. Why? Why is Jesus his hope? Because I know that man has surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. And though his world is turning upside down right now, his eyes are focused on Jesus. And I need you to hear me. I want you to hear me. I want you to look. I want you to listen. I need you real quickly. Today, it doesn't matter where you are, what you're walking through. It doesn't matter what your financial status is. It doesn't matter what your medical status is. And listen, you may be walking through some very deep stuff. But today, I point you to Jesus. He is your peace. Jesus is your hope. Jesus loves you so much that he died for the very moments that you're sitting in right now. Some of you in here today, you're thinking, I know this because I've talked to you after services. You're thinking, you don't know me. You don't know what I'm walking through. You don't know what I did last night. You don't know. Listen, I have this mask on and I've been charading. I've been playing. I want you to hear me. Jesus loves you right where you are today. You think you're too far gone. I need you to know you're not. you think there's no hope, I need you to know, in Jesus, there's always hope. I feel so unlovable. I need you to know, the baby that was born, he was born because you and I needed a Savior who would love us so much that he would lay his life down. He loves you in the midst of where you are today. Jesus loves you. Why does Jesus love you? Because he is the Son of God, and God is love. And today he's brought you here so that you might encounter that love. How do you encounter it? You encounter it in his word. You encounter it as we sing. You encounter it in brothers and sisters who walk up to you and they hug you and they say, listen, I love you. You're going to make it. I'm praying for you. And you pray for one another. Jesus loves you. God loves you. Oftentimes we hear so much, and I need you to hear me. God is fully loving, just like he is fully wrath. He is full of justice. He is full of mercy. When you come to God, you get all of him. And oftentimes, we think of God only as vengeful and wrathful, and he is, but I need you to hear me. He is fully loving of you also. And today, he is calling you, if you've never surrendered your life to Christ, he's calling you to himself. The Holy Spirit today is here. Point, you're going inside, you may feel something stirring. You know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit saying, this dude's right. Trust Jesus. Some of you today are going, am I truly lovable? Yes, Jesus died for you. In the manger, you see the face of Christ. You see the display of God's love. On the cross, you see it defined. This is how much he loved you. We needed a Savior. I don't understand it. He sent a baby. A baby who was going to be born, who would live, who would grow, who would live perfectly, and then lay his life down. Today, you may have heard this adage. It's all over social media that love is love. You seen that? You just see it tacked everywhere. Love is love. I think that's so shallow because it's based in the fact of us, how we define love. I can love anyone, anywhere, at any time, no matter who they are. Don't tell me what love looks like. Don't tell me who I can love. I need you to hear me. True love is defined by the word of God. By the word of God. And those of us who have surrendered our lives to Jesus Christ, we come under its authority. And so we have to be able to say, this is what love is based on what the word of God says. You hear me say that often. Did you realize that the word of God then becomes your worldview? It's like the glasses that you put on and you read you see everything around you in the lens of what the word has to say. And the word of God defines what love is. Everything that people are desiring and craving for, do you realize, can be fulfilled only in Jesus Christ? We turn to money, we turn to sex, we turn to pornography, we turn to drugs, we turn to pills, we turn to adventure, we turn to adrenaline rushes. And I need you to hear me. The only place that true love can be found, the hole that you're trying to fill, the expensive gift that you're going to buy to save the relationship or to make yourself feel good about yourself is going to be gone by the time the lights come down, the paper is thrown away. And you know this because how many times have you bought these gifts for your children and the next day they're broken and they're on to something else? That's a very crude example, very base example of what I'm saying. But I need you to hear, Jesus' love never, ever fails. It's not subjective. It is based on the objective, all authoritative word of God. And because of that, we can stand here. And I can say to you, come to Jesus. He loves you. He loves you. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says this, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's hard to comprehend, isn't it, the love of God, that he loves us where we are, even when we feel unlovely? Paul wrote about this to the Ephesian church. Ephesians chapter 3, I want you to look at there with me in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. He's writing to them and he says this, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, look at this, verse 18, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the width, the length, the height, the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul says, listen, without the Spirit of God, you are never going to understand how much God loves you. Those of you in here today who have the Spirit of God alive in you because you've surrendered your life to him, I need you to hear. He loves you. Those of you in here who've never surrendered your life to God, you've never trusted Jesus, and you're thinking, there's no way. When you come to him by faith, you begin to understand. Until then, it is foolishness. I recognize that. So I call you today, come to the love of Jesus. Number three, quickly, is that not only is love on display, not only has love been defined, love is also demands. Love demands. Look at verse 11. Verse 11 says this. John writes, and he's ending out, and he says, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We ought to love one another. Love demands that we love one another. If we are followers of Jesus Christ, do you realize you don't have a choice in this? It demands that we love one another. Only a perfect, holy, righteous God can demand that of you. Listen, I want to be really clear here. If you are a single in this room, if you're a student, you're single, and someone begins to tell you, if you really love me, you will. I need you to get out of that and leave it. Get out of it and leave it. If you've got to prove something to someone like that, only a righteous, holy God who laid his life down for you on a cross, who rose again, has the ability to demand what love is. Why? Because he perfectly showed love. He is the one who initiates and defines what true love is all about. And if we believe John, what he wrote in this word, then you and I, we're responsible to share that love. We are responsible to share that love. I want to give you an assignment today, something really practical. All right, really practical. You're going to get in the car with your wife, your husband. You're going to get in the car with kids. You're going to get in the car, or you're going to go, if you're single, you're going to go meet up with folks. You're going to be talking to people on the phone. Here's your assignment. I'm asking you today, I want you to tell them, why do you love Jesus? I want you to share with them, why do you love Jesus? This is what we're called to do. We're called to share the love of Christ. And listen, the people that we are closest to, our family, if we're not able to tell them why we love Jesus, it's going to be really difficult to tell anyone else about Jesus and your love for him. So I'm asking you to start at home, to start right there. We've been called to talk about that. Listen, we'll go door to door singing carols. This is a great time of the year, singing carols around. I mean, I've already seen on social media people posting videos of people out in their yard singing carols. If you'll do that, I want you to also tell them about Jesus. Listen, we're singing about the advent of Christ coming. Stop right there and say, hey, let me tell you, Jesus loves you. He sent his son for you. This isn't just a cool song. This is real. This is the real deal. Let me give you a couple of other practical things. Hopefully you're going along with us in the Advent guide. Our Advent guide has some very practical things to do in it. I think one of them talks about baking cookies and taking them to your neighbor and maybe inviting them to church. Amy and I, we have kind of a thing. We did this with our kids. We still do this during the holiday season. Y'all ever heard of Andy's mints, those little thin mint things? Oh, that's so good. Listen, you know, you can go to Aldi's and get them for like under $2. Buy you a pack of Christmas cards, and all of my neighbors, we try to write a happy, you know, Merry Christmas. We usually stick in a card to the Christmas Eve service or something about our church, and we go and we introduce ourselves, and we say, man, we just wanted to give you a gift. We love you. Here's who we are. We just want to share the love of God during this time with you. Just a way to open the door. Maybe it's whatever drive-thru you're going through. Pay for somebody's meal behind you. When you get up there, pay for their meal and say, hey, here's a card. I'd like for you to give this to the car as you tell them. It tells a little bit about your church, about Christ. Maybe it's a track or something that a gospel track, something about Christ. I was thinking about this in the last service, and you know, over the last couple of weeks, we've had people here showing the love of Christ. You've been packing these Operation Christmas Child boxes. And you've been giving those so that the love of God would go around. That's how around the world, you're sharing the love of God in that way. Some of you have been purchasing gifts for the Giving Tree. You were even here yesterday helping to deliver those gifts. Going out, I've already heard from folks saying that they were on the, they got to go in somebody's house and talk about Christ. We had some folks in the first service coming because of that. You've been involved in that. You have the opportunity to jump in, sharing the love of Christ around the world by giving part of your, giving to the one day offering. But I need you to hear me. You can be as generous as you want to be with your finances, but at some point we have to open our mouths and talk about Jesus. It's not enough just to give money. It's not enough just to give a gift. We have to open our mouth and talk about Jesus, the one whom God sent to display what love is, the one who went to the cross, who laid his life down, who defined what love. Now then, that love demands that you and I go and share. That's what he demands. And I need you to know, I don't get to tell you often enough, and I want to make sure that you hear me. I love you. I love this body. I'm so thankful for here. I'm thankful that we are in a gospel-centered church that loves the Word of God, that wants people to know about Jesus. And I tell people about that. I don't get to tell you often enough that, but I tell people about that. Who are you telling about Christ? Listen, here's what I know. God demonstrated his love for me. He sent Jesus, God in the flesh. He poured out his love in my heart. I have to tell it. The shepherds, when they came and saw that baby, it says they went back to their sheep. They went back and they told everyone they came in contact with. Let me ask you something. Do you love Jesus like that? That you're telling people about him. Today, if you've never trusted Christ, I want to help you. I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. I want to pray with you. Our prayer is that you will know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He's why we're here. He's why we sing. He's why we meet. He's why we teach, why we give. Jesus is why we do what we do. And we want you to know him. Follower of Christ today, I want to ask you, do you love Jesus like that? Do you share him? Are you talking about him? Begin on your way home today. Talk about why you love Jesus. Father, we magnify you. We honor you. We are so thankful that we have a church, that you've planted a church right here. I would ask, God, that you would save people this morning. God, I would ask that you would call them from death to life. I'm asking that you would open their eyes, the eyes of their heart, and they would surrender to you today and trust in you. They would place their faith in you. God, I'm asking today that if there is a believer in here who has questioned your love, Father, I'm praying that they have been encouraged by the Spirit today. God, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for loving me first so that I might be able to love others. Today, if Jesus is speaking to you, the Holy Spirit is moving you, I'm going to be back at the pastor's area in the back. I'd ask you to come. I'm inviting you today to come and talk with me. I want to pray with you. You are loved today. Jesus, we magnify you, and it's in your name we ask all of these things. Amen. Zion, come and lead us.
Let's stand together and sing.